Okay, we're starting the second Halukah. Halukah ki tov zamar alokenu ki na'im nava tehila. I think there's a few different ways to read this pasuk. A couple of them is that ki tov could be what it is that we're singing, what it is that we're saying to Hashem. So let's say, quote, ki tov zamra, meaning, this, I think I saw this in the Tzluta de Avraham. Ki tov is what you sing to Hashem, and you're saying that He is good. Elokeinu, and about Hashem, we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quote, ki na'im, that Hashem is pleasant, end quote. And then we say, nava tehila, it's appropriate and pleasant and good to praise Him. Another pshat, this I think was more common that I saw, was ki tov zamra lokenu, that it's good to sing praises to Hashem, and ki na'im nava tehila, and to Hashem it's pleasant and it's appropriate to sing praises. And as we're saying that praise and praising Hashem is pleasant and it's appropriate and it makes sense. And now in this whole mizmor, he's going to a little bit give us a taste of why that is, that it fits so much and that it's so pleasurable just to be able to praise Hashem. The word nava is rooted in the word taiva, like the aleph vav hey, like to desire something. So we have a strong desire in praising Hashem. Nava could be to strongly desire to praise Hashem. That's what the Tzluta de Avraham points out. And now we explain a little bit why. Now over here, in this next two psukim, so in the Siddur Agra, he goes at great length and really goes deep into it. Gives a lot of chizuk, and it's worthwhile to see inside. He says, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is building Yerushalayim constantly, all the time. What he's referring to, says the Siddur Agra, is the following, that a lot of times in Galus, you know, you look around and you can't imagine us ever getting out of this situation. We look so far from Hashem, and the Geula seems so not, you know, anywhere close to us, and it just seems, it's just hard to see Hashem behind everything. And what he's saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really, everything that's going on in Galus, it's all part of Hashem building Yerushalayim. It's not only that suddenly the Mashiach is going to come, and suddenly the Geula is going to come, but when that happens, we're going to see that everything that the Jewish people went through was constant. That was part of the building of Yerushalayim. That was part of the bringing of the Geula. It's not just that there was darkness, and then Hashem turned out the light. It's that we'll see retroactively that none of that actually was even darkness. That was all part of the building blocks of building Yerushalayim. And he gives an example, and he talks about how he brings a midrash in Bereishis Rabbah, how when Yosef was missing from Yaakov, and it looked like everything in Yaakov's life had fallen apart, and he said, Lama hare otamli, he said to the brothers when they wanted to bring Binyamin to Mitzrayim, how come you brought this bad upon me, that now you have to take Binyamin? So the Midrash says that Hashem said to Yaakov, not that Yaakov heard it, but Hashem said at that moment that I'm busy making Yosef the king in Mitzrayim, and you're complaining? And it's like a difficult Midrash, because what do you mean? Yaakov knew that Hashem is busy making Yosef the king? He thought Yosef's dead, or that Yosef's probably dead. Never in a million years would he have thought that Hashem's busy making Yosef the king in Yerushalayim. But you see that what Hashem was saying is that while everything looks so dark to you, right now, this time, I'm actually building up an important future for you. Like, I'm making Yosef the king, so that there's a place for all your kids to be able to eat and reside in peace and become the Jewish people. In other words, it's not just that things are dark and bleak, but I'm in the middle of a building process right now. And Yaakov was meant to have believed that, even though he didn't see it. So that's true about the entire Galus, that Hashem is Bonei Yerushalayim, that everything that's happening to us. What's it like in the story of, it means the story in Megillas Esther, that we see at the end of the story that it's not just that things were bad and then they became good, but we find out that they never were bad to begin with, that all those things where we see like we're in danger, and let's say like when Haman built that whole big pole to hang Mordechai on, that all was part of the building process of the downfall of the Rishayim and the downfall of Haman. So too, we're going to see that about the entire Galus. Victor Miller, but before I go to that, in the Siddur Gra, he continues and he shows how the flow of the next pasuk really ties into that, because it says, "Harofe l'shvurei lev, machapesh l'atzvosam," that Hashem cures broken hearts and he cures the sadness. So the Siddur Gra says this is like a flowing of what he said in the last pasuk, that it's not only that Hashem fixes a broken heart, but he also gets rid of the sadness and shows that that sadness was never actually there. The pain that led towards the sickness, or the pain that came along with the sickness, wasn't actually there. He cures that also. That's something that a doctor can't cure. A doctor can make the patient better, but he can't make it that he never had been sick to begin with, that the pain had never been there to begin with. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu cures something, he makes it. He doesn't just cure the end. He cures everything that happened beforehand too. So that now you look at it in a different light. He gives a mashal of, let's say you had this king who had a beautiful, beautiful gem, like worth everything, this jewel. And suddenly somehow like it fell, or it got some scratch on it. And that thing that had been worth so much and was so precious, now is like ruined. It has a scratch, like a dent or whatever it is. And then some guy that's really, really good at carving and engraving says, no, don't worry, king. I could take that scratch and I make a picture out of it. And then he works on it and he makes the most beautiful engraving on the jewel and makes it worth thousands of times more than what had been worth originally. So it's not just that he didn't get rid of the scratch. He made it, the scratch was never a problem to begin with. The scratch is really what made it beautiful. The scratch is what gave it so much more value than even it had originally. And that's how Hashem cures things. Hashem cures things, he doesn't just make the problem go away. He makes it that it never had been a problem to begin with, but that was all making everything so much more valuable. So when the Gula comes, that's what Hashem is going to be curing. What we're going to see that he cured is that there never had been a problem. It never had been suffering to begin with. That was all part of making the most beautiful, valuable jewel out of the Jewish people. So that's continuing of the thought of Bone Yushalayim Hashem. It's all part of the building up of Yushalayim. Rabbi De Miller, he talks about when it says Bone Yushalayim Hashem, he's speaking about just like from David's perspective. He said David had captured Yushalayim and built it up, you know, out of the hands of the Yevusim. You know, he took their buildings, made them nicer, made them better. He had been involved in the war against the Yevusim. He's looking outside of the window of his palace, says Rabbi Victor Miller, and he's looking at this beautiful built-up Yushalayim that he was witness and involved in the entire process. And David HaMelech is saying, it wasn't me at all. Bona Yushalayim Hashem. Like, it was Hashem that built up this Yushalayim. He gave the Yevusim over into our hands. He gave these buildings to us. He gave us the tools and the wisdom to be able to make this nicer and bigger. And it's all Hashem. It's not me at all. It's not us at all. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Siddur Gra also had pointed out how it doesn't say Hashem Bona Yushalayim. Because had it said Hashem Bona Yushalayim, then it would have been like, okay, it happens to be Hashem, and it wasn't somebody else, that also could have been Bona Yushalayim. By saying it like this, Bona Yushalayim Hashem, we're saying that he's the only one that could do it. The definition of Bona Yushalayim, it's Hashem. He's the one that's Bona Yushalayim. Nobody else could have done it. It's not just that it happened to have been him, it only could be him. Nidche Yisrael Yichanes, that those that are spread out from Klaiso all around the world, Hashem is going to gather them in. This could also be from the perspective of David HaMelech, how people were coming to Yerushalayim then, but he was saying that it's all in Hashem's hands. So for this to be everlasting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to keep it like this. And if there ever is a galus in the future, Hashem once again will be Nidche Yisrael Yichanes. The Siddur Gra points out that Yichanes are written in the future tense, and that's to stress how that which Hashem gathers people in and at the time of the Geula brings them to Eretz Yisrael is a promise to the Jewish people in general, but not to each specific individual. Each specific individual, based on how he lives and what he does and where his heart is at, that's going to affect whether he'll be ingathered into Eretz Yisrael or not. And that's being referred to in the passage, how Klai Yisrael in general will be gathered in, but that's not a promise to each specific individual. We have to make ourselves fitting to be part of those that are there at the time of the Golos. One of the things I forgot to mention is that the Gra pointed out in the Siddur Gra that we're meant to take chizuk from this mizmor, not just about the gullus in general, how all the suffering we're going to see wasn't really suffering, but it's true about each person also in their individual life. How I'd say the Gemara says, Hashem gave three presents that you can only have through Yisurim, through suffering. The Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Olam Haba. So each person with their suffering, they're going to find out that suffering actually is what built them their entire Olam Haba. It's what acquired for them the Torah that they take with them. The Mizmor continues, Mona Mispar Lekochavim Lechulam Shemos Yikra. Hakadosh Baruch Hu counts a number for the stars, and to each one of them he gives a name. Like when you look at the stars, the more you see them, the more you realize there's more and more and more. They're infinite. You can't count them. They're innumerable. So it almost would seem like, okay, one more star, one less star, 100 less, 100 more. It's all the same. There's just so many of them, and they're all over the place, scattered. It doesn't seem that there's like a very clear pattern over there, but we say no, Kachro counts them, he knows the number of them, even though we know there's billions of stars, he knows that number. And not only that, it's not just okay, there's like a large general number, but each one of them has its own separate name. That means each one of them has a purpose, each one of them, there's a reason that they're there. Hashem knows that, he's on top of it. If one of them would be missing, everything would be different. He has a name for all of them. Gadol Adoneinu V'Rav Koach, he's great. With Rav Koach, Litvunato Ein Mispar, there's no number for his understanding. So that's a funny phrase. There's no number for his understanding. Understanding is like a type of a wisdom. So what does the word number have anything to do with that? So in the Avne Eliyahu, in the Siddur Agra, he explains it this. What's Tvuna? Tvuna is the ability to discern between two things. Like we say, Hanosin Lesechvi Bina, Lahavchin Ben Yom Ben Laila, that because the Sechvi has Bina, therefore it's able to discern between day and night. So it's the ability to discern. So referring to the fact that all these stars, and there's so many of them, he's able to discern one from the other. Litvunato, Ein Mispar. There's no number of stars, there's no number of things that could exist that would become too many for Hashem to be able to discern one from the other. So to the Jewish people, which the Torah promises that we're going to be as many as the stars, as much as the sand and the, you know, on all the beaches and all the dirt to the world. So we're going to be that much number. It's never just like, hey, we're one large conglomerate of many, many people. No, every one of them is separate. Every one of them he knows. Every one of them has a name, a purpose, a reason to be there. He doesn't lose track. He's fully on top of it. And Gadol Adoneinu V'Rav Koach L'Tvunah So Ein Mispar. There's no number or point where he wouldn't be able to discern from one person to the next and focus in on each individual person. And the Gemara in Brachos, when it talks about the number of stars, it talks about some crazy, crazy large number. And then Hashem says, this is Brachos Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. It says, and all of this, V'kulam lo barati ela b'shvilcha. All of these stars, these billions of stars, I only made for you, Klai Yisrael. And you think that I'm going to leave you? You think I'm going to forget about you? Meaning, when you look at the stars and you realize and you remember that that's all there for you, you're the Ikar. They're there to serve you, to help with the running of this world for you, to serve your purpose. So that just shows you, like, look how much Hashem invested in you. He's not forgetting you. He's not moving on. He's not letting go. He's not losing hope in you. Look how much he loves you. You look at the stars, and that's one of the things you meant to take out from that. Okay, we'll pick up from over here.
Oh yeah.